Well, it's always tricky to know what to do with passages of Scripture that we know fairly well, or for that matter, passages of Scripture that just strike us in peculiar sorts of ways. And when we look at this story, we have these two people, followers of Jesus, walking out of Jerusalem on their way to Emmaus because they've just had the worst experience they could possibly have. Jesus, their Messiah, the person they were following, has been killed. They had these weird rumors that maybe he's not dead, and they're just... My best guess is they just said, all right, that's it. We've had enough. We're leaving. We're just going to go home. And in the story, as we understand it and as it was just related to us, they're walking along and somebody joins them who they don't recognize. And depending on what translation you read, you will see that they were kept from recognizing him, which suggests that they would have otherwise. And then other translations will suggest that they just didn't recognize him. And so the first thing that frequently hits us is, how could you not recognize him without some kind of divine intervention that would prevent it for whatever reason? And the thing that I always think of here is that when it comes right down to it, for better or worse, we don't see what we don't expect to see. And you would think that isn't the case. It's almost counterintuitive. Of course, we see whatever's in front of us. Except we don't. In North America, at least North America in particular, you may be surprised, or if you've ever been involved with one of these, you won't be at all, but the single most common response to a police officer talking to an automobile or a truck driver who has just hit a motorcyclist is, I didn't even see it. And so for a long time, people just assumed that this was some kind of, you're making it up to make yourself feel better, until they began to do some work and realized that no, and this is one of the reasons why I stopped driving a motorcycle, there are a few others, is that in North America, generally speaking, the drivers of cars and trucks do not see motorcycles. It's not that they see motorcycles and say, well, I don't care about motorcycles. They don't see a motorcycle rider and say, well, that's obviously a proto Hell's Angel, so I'm going to take care of him or her right now and run over them. No, they don't see them. Why would that be? It comes back to this whole thing that as far as our human brains are concerned, we see what we expect to see. If you've ever done one of those drawings that have at least a couple of things going on, you look at it from one angle, it's an old lady, you look at it from another angle, it's a young woman. If you've never seen this particular one before, and before you look at it, someone relates an anecdote about their grandmother, you will never see a young woman first. You will see an old woman, because you've been primed, that's the psychological word for it, or at least what psychologists call it, you've been primed to see that. And it's not that the other isn't there, it's that you don't see it. And as I've said before to the people who've listened to me frequently, you know by now that I was an incredibly judgmental young person. And so when I read this passage, or heard it read to me when I was younger, I just assumed that these two people going to Emmaus were kind of dumb. But they didn't recognize a close friend of theirs. They didn't recognize somebody they'd followed. And as I got older, I began to think that maybe that was a little unreasonable. And from this perspective, I think it was just dramatically unkind. We don't see what we don't expect to see. And it's very difficult for us to see what we know can't be there. The internet is filled with all kinds of things that cause us to wonder whether humanity is really going up or down. But there are some really wonderful things we can see there. And one of the ones that if you need a bit of a lift in your spirit, I strongly recommend you go and find videos for returning soldiers. There are all kinds of these videos where someone who's been serving overseas, whether they're American soldiers or Canadians, whatever they might be, and they come home, and the reunions are heartwarming. But lots of them, when the returning soldier... father, mother, daughter, son, whatever it might be, sneaks back early or comes back when they're not expecting it. How often, if you've had the good fortune to watch any of these, how often have you seen someone looking at their spouse their child, their parent, and not seeing them at all. Well, are they kind of dumb? No, they're not dumb at all. They just know that their spouse is in Afghanistan, so they can't be there. This is someone who looks like them. And then suddenly something changes. And they realize this is the person I've been waiting for. And then the reunion happens. And if you're like me, you cry in your cubicle at work, which is why I don't watch these at work anymore. Not because I'm particularly ashamed of crying, but apparently it bothers other people. I'm not sure why. We don't see things we don't expect to see. And these two people walking along Emmaus were not expecting to see Jesus. And so this is perhaps easy for us to understand when we think of it this way, but there are lots of other things we don't see, at least not right away. And one of them is that we don't see good in ourselves. And frequently we don't see good in our families, particularly when we're younger. I'm thinking when I was the age of you spy kids and my parents were kind of dopey and didn't really know a lot. And they weren't very talented and they weren't very good at things until I started talking to my friends or my parents' friends who told me about all the things that my parents could do that I'd never even noticed. I talked to my friends who said really, really odd things like, I wish I had your parents. And I thought, have you ever looked at them? You know what these people are like? They're terrible. I wasn't seeing what was actually there. These people didn't see Jesus in a physical sense until their eyes were opened. And whether it was miraculous intervention or not, where Jesus broke bread and suddenly they went, wait a second. You're this person we thought was dead. You're this person we followed. You're this, well, you've now just blown up our world. Sometimes that can happen even now. Because what we don't see, just like they didn't see, is we frequently don't see Jesus. We live in a world where if you are so inclined, you can find nothing but bad 24 hours a day. 24-hour news services do not show us a lot of pictures of fond reunions in airports. They show us body bags. If you go on the internet, and depending on which particular filter bubble you live in, you will find nothing but bad news about this person or that person, about the climate, about the people who talk about the climate, whatever it might be. If all you're looking for, or if all you're aware of, or all you're interested in, are things that aren't working out well, there's an endless supply. And even if you're not looking for the things that confirm your pessimism, you just happen to see these a lot, it becomes very easy for us to lose sight of Jesus. Because Jesus, when he left this world in his physical sense, when he ascended, as we'll catch up to in Acts in this season of Easter, he didn't say, I'm leaving, I hope you're okay. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving behind my Holy Spirit. I'm leaving behind part of me as this mystery of the Trinity, of these three persons of God who are distinct and yet the same, however that all works, it's beyond human ability. He said, I'm leaving me behind. When Jesus left, he didn't say, me and all of God is leaving. He said, no, no. I'm still going to be here. Good things are still going to happen. But it's easy for us to not see those until we're reminded, until something triggers it for us. The nice thing about these kinds of things is that we are not stuck with our inability to see. And when I was talking about the whole motorcycle issue at the beginning, did you notice that I said this happens in North America? Because North American drivers, particularly those of us in the colder parts of North America, don't see a lot of motorcycles for somewhere between 4 and 8 months of the year because our fellow citizens aren't crazy. You don't ride a motorcycle in January in Regina, or Moose Jaw, or PA, or really anywhere in Saskatchewan. We're just not used to seeing them, so we don't see them. But if you go to lots of the rest of the world, drivers always see motorcycles? Are they somehow better than us? Are they somehow different in their brain wiring? Or have they just been trained to see motorcycles where we might not? You're much safer riding a motorcycle in a congested Southeast Asian city than you are riding a motorcycle in the early spring in the prairies. It's just the way it is. Because there, people are used to seeing them. They're not special in any way. It's just something that they have become used to. And we can do the same. I encourage you to do the same about motorcycles as a former motorcycle rider. Please don't run into them. But even more, we can train ourselves to see Jesus. We can train ourselves that when we encounter yet one more news story about how terrible everything is, to say, but it's not all terrible. Because if I look around on any day, I will see people being kind just because they're being kind. Not because they're getting anything back, not because they're getting paid to act in a kind way, but because they're acting on the impetus of the Holy Spirit that says being kind to your fellow human being is a good thing. Whether they are in a direct relationship with God or not. That's part of Jesus at work in our world. And we can always see that. Because we can always see it in ourselves. If it was hard for me when I was growing up to see the good in my family, it was doubly hard for me to see the good in me. Which is the case for lots of people in those adolescent years when you're trying to figure out who you actually are. It never really goes away. Sorry, youth. You'll continue to struggle with this in one way or another, probably, for all of your life. To see the good in you, sometimes it's hard. But when we look for the evidence of Jesus alive within our lives, it is always there to be seen. But only if we look for it. And only if we believe it will be there. These two travelers on their way to Emmaus, they weren't bad people. They just hadn't really internalized the reality of Jesus saying, I will come back. Jesus told them, I will come back. But when somebody tells you things that are hard to believe, they're hard to believe. It takes a while. And when I tell you that Jesus is alive and at work in your life, right now, today, every day, you may find that hard to believe. But if you look for it, you will see it. If you look for the evidence of a loving God within yourself, in your family, within your community, you will find that evidence. Because God has said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not leaving you behind, hoping that you somehow make it. Jesus said, when I leave this place in a physical sense, I'm leaving for your benefit, because the Holy Spirit is even better than me. The original disciples found that hard to believe. I sometimes do myself. But the Holy Spirit, that representative of Jesus, that person who is as much God as Jesus is within us all the time. And if we are open to seeing that Holy Spirit at work in the world and within us, we will see it. What don't we see? We don't see what we don't expect to see. So I'm going to prime you now. That when you look within yourself and through the rest of this day, when you look at the people around you and the created order, and even when you look at the news, you will still see the evidences of the reality of Jesus alive and at work in this world through the Holy Spirit and through us. Amen.